This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. The Saints have finished the 2025 draft. Jeff, welcome to the show. Your thoughts?
Yeah, how you doing, Newell? Long weekend.
It was a long weekend. I guess I'll start off. You obviously are the expert. You know a hell of a lot more than this than I do. But as I went through each and every one of these players and a breakdown of where they've been, what they've accomplished, what they've done, I kind of like this group. I don't know. I mean, they seem to have proven themselves.
Yeah. Well, one thing that kind of became clear throughout the process is I think the Saints, you know, in a lot of instances, were looking for kind of proven, productive players, and that's what you got. The running back that got out of Kansas is their all-time leading rusher. He had 16 rushing touchdowns each of the past two seasons. That's Devin Neal, the linebacker out of Oklahoma, Danny Stutzman, and the safety out of Virginia, Johan Sanker. I mean, they've combined for over 400 tackles each over the past 2 years in their respective environments. So, you know, I think you go up and down the line and you see highly productive players. And I think that's something you were looking at. The other thing, it's a 9-man draft class. You know, they haven't had that big of a draft class since 2015. And then before that, since 2002. So, you know, it's a big number. You know, we've never seen a 10-man draft class in the Mickey Loomis era. So they make the limit at 9. The interesting thing is in all of those draft classes, they ended up drafting a quarterback, which is not a given. The Saints don't draft a quarterback every year. This year, they went for Louisville's Tyler Shuck. You know, it was a bit of a controversial pick in terms of the reaction and the value at that point. I think it's one of those situations where anytime you disagree with a pick, you say, oh, they could have waited and got him later. We'll never know. But I think it's pretty telling that whenever it's always people that disagree with a pick that tend to say, you could have got him later. It's not, you don't know that. You can't know that. You wait 31 picks, he's probably not there. The more realistic scenario would be maybe you could have waited a little bit, get another player there, and trade up to get him from where you were at 71. But I don't think this Saints team was one that was really keen on giving away a ton of assets. I think when you're changing schemes, you're changing offenses, you're changing defenses, I need to add pieces. The quicker I can kind of turn over with players that fit the schemes I'm bringing in, the faster you can kind of reach your peak, your peak efficiency in those new schemes. Because that's the thing that a lot of people don't take into account. You want to change from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You need the pieces to do that, and you know you'll make do in year one if you don't have the perfect roster for what you're trying to do. But you're not going to be playing at the level that you could be if you had what you needed to have in there. So I think that's what it was that I appreciated about this class. You had 9 different picks. I mean, you had 9 picks, 9 different positions. Each one kind of filled a need that I think the Saints had, and that's how a team rebuilds, right? That's how a team that's missed the playoffs over the past 4 years kind of rebuilds a core group that can sustain winning over the course of time. Like, you go back to that 2017 draft class, hitting on all those picks, and 2016 before that, people forget that draft, but that's the one you got Michael Thomas and David Onyemata and Von Bell. There's one other guy in there that I can't recall, but you know, that's where those two drafts are what kind of drove that run of success from 2017 through 2020. A lot of those guys are gone now, right? Alvin Kamara is basically the only guy from that 2017 class. Ryan Ramczyk retired. Everyone else is, you know, somewhere else. You know, Marshawn Lattimore is in Washington. Trey Hendrickson is in Cincinnati. But you got to bring in those players. You got to hit on those draft picks to sustain success. And so that's what you're hoping. You're hoping that these guys that got in the mid rounds can be contributors early on and develop into team leaders and Pro Bowl caliber players. You got the quarterback that is a little older, and there's some criticism around that, but he's a more pro-ready guy than I think they've had at the quarterback position in terms of young players in a long while. So now I agree with you. I like this draft class. I think there's some sneaky good picks in there. You can argue with the value at some of the spots, but in general, I think you've got a lot of players that you expect to contribute for the long term.
Yeah, I don't understand the controversy over the quarterback. I don't know, but again, you know more than I do, but I like having a 6'5 quarterback. I'm just going to say it. I think there's a lot. And then this guy played for three separate, pretty serious programs, right? Louisville, Texas Tech, Oregon. And he produced right off the bat every time. Coming in, you know, he was behind a first-round draft pick quarterback in Oregon, comes in, makes a difference, and repeats that performance over and over and over again. But, you know, that's pretty telling to me.
I think the discourse around Tyler Shuck is interesting because it's a very social media generation type criticism of when you have two or three kind of catchy negatives to point out, then everything else kind of falls to the background because, hey, I found this clip of him making a bad play at the combine. I'm going to post that and it's going to be shared and shared to oblivion. And the fact that he had the best quarterback workout of anyone at the combine is completely forgotten about because he had kind of one funky throw where he was trying something, looked like the ball slipped out of his hand. This is your quarterback. So, and that becomes the conversation. So the points about Tyler that everyone hinges on, he's 25 years old. He's older. He was in college for 7 years. Now, I think the Saints view that as a positive because you have at the quarterback.
Look, I don't know nothing. I think it is.
Right. So you have a veteran guy that understands the game, that has a more pro-ready situation and understanding than someone who's coming in at 21 years old, right? So the age is something that, yeah, sure, you would probably like a quarterback that you could mold a little more. But at the same time, he comes in a little more ready to step in. So there's a give and take there. The other thing that people hinge on is the season-ending injuries, right? So, you know, he started at Oregon. He backed up Justin Herbert, eventually ended up at Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech had an offense where they wanted him to run around a lot, right? They wanted him to run QB power and he was taking hits. And when you're doing that to a quarterback, injuries are much – I mean, look at Taysom Hill, right? If you're going to operate like Taysom Hill does, you're going to get hurt, and that's what you saw. He didn't have any ACL tears. Right. There was no Kellen Moore describes it as non-orthopedic injuries. And I think that's significant. If you've ever broken a bone, you know, it's painful. It's difficult. But, you know, the bone heals in your back. It's a lot different than a full repair of your knee and cartilage. And, you know, that takes months and months in rehab and you got to strengthen stuff around it. And, you know, it's a collarbone. It heals your back, a knee or a fibula. It breaks. It heals your back. But that's what people are talking about. And you rarely hear people get to, okay, but, you know, he's 6'5", he's got a cannon arm, he's accurate, he's athletic, he has a really good feel to slide out of the pocket, keep his shoulders square downfield and make big plays in big moments, extend plays. But we don't hear about that. We hear about, you know, the age and the injuries and a couple bad throws at the combine and maybe some rough decisions under pressure, and suddenly he's not worth talking about because Shedeur Sanders is the social media icon, and that's who they should be going after, not the guy who has all the traits you want at the quarterback position. So I think once people see him out there and they kind of get the picture of what he looks like as a quarterback, I think people will get on board. But right now it's like, well, we didn't take the most popular name. You reached, quote unquote reached. And so there you are. But I do find it interesting. Michael Penix spent 6 years in college, came out after two ACL tears, is going to be 2025 in 2 weeks. And we never hear about his age. We never really hear about his injuries. Both these guys are going to be 25 in 2 weeks on May 8th when Michael Penix turns 25. And so I just think it's interesting. You hear all about Tyler Shuck's age and injuries, but you never hear about Michael Penix's age and injuries. Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, all these guys came out later in their careers. It's not a negative at the quarterback position. We're going to be playing into your mid-30s if you're any good. So I know that's a long answer, but that's kind of where I land on the quarterback. And I just hope people give him a chance because I think there's a lot to like there.
No, I do too. Your thoughts about these folks, some of them had injuries. I mean, you play in these big-time colleges, you're going to get hurt. I mean, getting through 4 or 5 years of college football and not getting hurt is – I don't know that there are many people like that, but we have a couple that we've drafted that actually were able to achieve same. But these folks look very durable and flexible and able to take the hits and continue on and come back from injuries and perform at a high level yet again.
Yeah, well, it's not, you know, Kellen Moore, Mickey Loomis, one of the first things out of their mouths when they're talking about Tyler and is the adversity he went through and kind of learned from. Tyler will say the same thing, and that's a benefit. Like, you want to have some adversity when you enter, when you're going through that process, you can learn what it's like, right? Like, he knows what a season-ending injury and that frustration can be like. He knows what it's like to work back from that. And, you know, I think that's when you talk about the draft, so much of it comes down to, do you have highlight plays? You know, what are people saying about you? And we often ignore, you know, one of the bigger parts of this process is sitting down with a guy and talking to him and learning about him and figuring out whether he's a guy you want in your locker room. But I assure you that is a very important part of the Saints process. And they said the same thing about Kelvin Banks at number 9 overall. Like, you're talking about high character, high quality players. And we'll see. And it doesn't hurt when you have the production. Now, one other thing I'll add about Tyler Shuck, you know, when he put him in a pro-style offense with Jeff Brohm, one of the better quarterback teachers you'll find at the college level, he didn't have injuries, right? You know, yeah. He made it through that season. And one of the things Jeff said when we talked to him was after the draft was, you know, we didn't have him running QB power. We didn't have him diving headfirst into a charging linebacker. And if that's a good way to keep a quarterback healthy. So I think that's, you know, I don't expect that injury history to really kind of be an issue beyond, you know, if you understand, hey, I don't need to be taking as much contact as I did in those Texas Tech offenses, and I know how to operate within a pro-style system and inside the pocket, then that's a benefit.
Yeah. You know, you never really know, right, with a draft how things are going to turn out, but I think they kind of aligned who they drafted to overcome some of the unpleasant truths that they're dealing with the present roster. And, you know, when you kind of look at that alignment in who they drafted where, I think they set out to accomplish what they needed to. I don't know who's grading these things, saying I think somebody said there were a B- at best this draft. I don't know how you get there, but for what it's worth, no one's listening to me about it. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, you know, I know there's always going to be guys that, I wish they could have got him. I wish they could have got him. At number 40, there was a few guys that I really liked that I would have loved to see in a Saints uniform. You know, Will Johnson, the cornerback, Donovan Ezra-Rasu, the edge rusher. But you can't draft everybody. You can only draft the guys that you pick at your pick. You know, I would have loved to see them have 10 picks at the top of the second round. That's just not how it works. So I think
you and the Saints both.
Right. And it's impossible to grade a draft class in the day after the draft. Everyone wants to see it, so people do it. But everyone would tell you it takes 2 to 3 years to have even a semblance of an idea of who won the draft. So, you know, I'm rooting for a lot of these guys. I'm excited to see him get on the field in the next couple weeks at the rookie minicamp.
Absolutely. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, digital content producer. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week.
No doubt. You too.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.